All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Ian and I are going to dig in a little bit deeper into defensive coverages. We went over single high and two high at a very, well, frankly, high level. There was the 10,000 foot view of things. We are going to now get a little bit deeper. We focused on when we're talking about single high and two high, basically, essentially, what the safeties are doing. Now that we're in that defensive coverage with the safeties, what does it mean for the corners? And that's what we're going to dig into today. But before we do, Ian, let's give the fine people a quick review talking about single high now. What is the difference between single high and two high?
There's the most basic, which is that in single high, you have one safety back, and in two high, you have two safeties back. Then the other big ramification is that when you have two safeties back, they tend to stay more or less to either half of the field. And so one is playing to one hash, the other is playing to the other, and they might drift around a little bit. Their leverage might change, their assignments might change, but the idea is I'm on this half of the field and you're on this half. In single safety defense, the safety is in between the hash marks, and like Pete Kwiatkowski often just calls it post safety defense. So that deep safety is, don't let them throw a post over your head. That's your number one job at all times. We'll get into the finer details from there, but make sure they don't throw it deep over the middle. And so that's, and whereas the other one, remember we called it MOFO, middle of right. Field open. This is the middle of the field closed.
I think it's also good to point out here that, as you highlighted when we were talking about single high specifically, Texas last year was excellent at disguising their coverages, but generally playing out of a single high, certainly maybe even to start. Can you explain a little bit about how that disguise works before we maybe get into what the corners are doing?
Yeah, this is one of the big things in football right now, is that if you ever hear about Vic Fangio, who's currently the Eagles defensive coordinator, just won the Super Bowl, and the Fangio School of Defense, his big thing was, we're going to start every play, almost every play, we're going to have two high safeties until just before the snap or just after the snap. And so we're going to show you the same look, and then we're going to have one of those safeties drop down to play single high at like the last minute, where you don't get to call your play knowing that it's single high. You don't get to call your play knowing where the safety is dropping, even if you can guess that the safety is dropping, et cetera. And you blend the two high and single high coverages, even if you're playing mostly one or the other. You don't give a clear picture. And that right there is also why, if anybody notices, like there was a time in the 2010s when you would see freshman five-star quarterbacks who had a really high bust rate in the previous decade would come into schools and just be dominant immediately. And that was because spread offenses were making it really easy for the quarterbacks to know where to throw the ball before the play even started. But now, as these defenses have taken hold and everybody's disguising their look, you're seeing those five-star quarterbacks start to bust at a higher rate again, and the rise of like the experienced transfer type quarterback, because you need the guy who's, it's just gotten really complicated.
All right, Ian, we're going to now look at your left to right artwork. Here we go. This one is, I think it's safe to say, out of all the ones we've done up to this point, this one has the most words on it.
Yeah.
So what is the best place? If somebody's looking at this for the first time, which they will be, where should they start? Should they be reading this top to bottom, left to right, right to left? Where should they be looking first?
I don't even know the answer to that question.
Okay. All right.
Here's the complication I had in this is I thought about drawing this as you would see it in Madden.
Sure. But you thought, wait, that might have the most appeal. Let's just do it this way instead.
I don't know. I don't know what I thought. Have you ever heard of the Aggie Art Gallery in Ehrman's Cave?
Sadly, no.
And you know what Ehrman's Cave is?
I do not.
This cave in Austin you can go into and you're like crawling on your stomach to get through it. People get lost in it sometimes. And there's, if you get down deep enough, there's a part where there's all this clay and people will make clay sculptures. And there's like a insignia on the top, somebody carved into the clay, like the Aggie Art Gallery. And it's all just mostly, you know, lewd sculptures done by spelunkers, I guess you would call them.
Great. I'm just waiting for the segue.
Well, just the low quality of art is the
okay. All right, that's perfect. That's
basically the through line.
So let's maybe take this from the quarterback's perspective. So prior to the snap, there's those arrows haven't started yet. That's what it. They're going to see is they're going to see that single high safety.
They're going to see the too high look because the strong safety is still back. That's the money sign.
And then I see now. Yes,
the free safety. Those two guys are both back before the snap.
Shocking how I missed that. You're right. I'm sorry. Yep.
And then one comes down and the other drops back. And it's not, you don't know which one is going to do which. Like the defense should have both options. I happen to draw it where the strong safety comes down and the free safety goes back, which is what you would think of with a strong safety and a free safety.
As a proud representative of the Idiocracy, let me ask this question. With obviously, there's a lot of movement going on here. What is the basis of match three? If you were to take match three just in terms of a concept, a theory, an ideology, what would be your one sentence way to describe what match three is trying to accomplish?
Take away the middle of the field.
Okay.
Okay. I wrote down the zones like it was cover three. But match three doesn't work exactly like cover three. But you have your strong safety drops down and plays what's called a curl flat zone, which means in Madden, there's like a circle that would be like from the W to the C, all that space underneath would be him. But it's that you don't just stand in a spot and try to cover all that space. Which the way it actually works is you make sure the offense can't throw the curl route. And then you rally from there to defend the flat. So the idea is you take away the deeper middle passing window, force the quarterback to go down to the check down, and then you're anticipating that and you're closing on the check down. The hook zones that the linebackers play, that means just any hook route in the middle of the field, you're trying to keep it in front of you before closing late on anything underneath. The star on the bottom plays another curl flat zone. The corners, they might play like a deep third, like the Madden, where there's like a big circle in the deep third, or it might be more of a just play man coverage on the outside receiver. Or another common way to do it is called mod or man on demand. You play man in coverage on him if he goes deep. If he stays underneath, you just leave him for the linebackers and the safety and the nickel, and you start to get deep so you can help on anything. The free safety, no matter what, is just don't let them throw it over the middle. Stop the post.
Okay. And so what we're doing here is it sounds like and this entire system is run off of zone, essentially. Everybody's playing zone.
Yeah. You have a zone of responsibility, but you are matching routes, specific routes that tend to come into that zone.
The reason I ask that is it very much looks like, specifically with the corners in this particular configuration, that their responsibility is really still very much locked down. They have to be able to stay with that because it doesn't look like they have much help. Is that fair?
That is correct. Anything outside the hash marks, you're at the mercy of how fast and where your safety is.
So again, the efficacy of this type of defense really revolves around having elite corners.
Potentially. If you have only okay corners, but you can at least teach them to make sure that they don't throw it over their head. You can play them off. You do whatever you have to do to make sure they don't get beat over the top. But then you might be giving up a lot underneath and not really challenging easy throws underneath. If you want to be really great at this style of defense, you need the corner to be able to challenge routes that are thrown short and still not present the risk of getting just killed over the top.
Right.
So yes, mostly yes, but not entirely. There's also one more thing about this. These zones of responsibility are the key. Because I drew it where, you know, weak side linebacker plays the weak hook zone. Mike linebacker plays the strong hook zone. Nickel plays curl flat zone, etc. You can actually, it's those zones that stay consistent. Different positions and different players can end up in different spots.
Right.
So you ideally want to teach multiple players how to defend multiple zones of responsibility. Because then you can start to bring a wider variety of defense, even though it's still the same, basically the exact same defense every play. It changes a lot who's where. Who's doing what can mean a lot. And we'll get more into that as we get deeper into this video.
So, and we have talked about in prior videos the skill set profiles for various positions, right? We talked about nickel, we talked about Mike, we talked about that three technique. One thing I think is really important here, especially when we look at defensive coverages, and I don't want to go too deep into this, but I think it's worth noting. Talk to me a little bit about the value add of your defensive front and what they enable the secondary to do in situations like this.
One of the benefits of single high safety and match three defense is that you can drop one of those safeties down and then you can have one more defender in or around the box than the offense can block. So the coverage is actually helping your front in some regards. You don't have to be quite as stout necessarily as you would in some of the too high stuff against some of the things that you can get there. But maybe the most devastating thing that you can get here is when the J and the B, which is the two edge positions, the jack and the buck, when those guys know how to drop into a curl flat zone or a weak hooks or strong hook zone, then it allows you to create this defense in a different way and bring somebody else on the blitz. And you're still just playing match three, but maybe the fact that your blitz came from a different direction than the offense expected means that somebody runs free at the quarterback, or the quarterback throws somewhere. He's like, oh, they left this spot wide open. And he doesn't see that Ethan Burke is dropping out with his 6'7" frame. And all of a sudden he's in the picture.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description. All right, Ian, walk us through this one.
This is a very basic one. There's not a ton of disguise going on here, so that's a little helpful. The strong safety is the one that's like just below the 50-yard line, and he's already dropped down to match the curl flat or the tight end on the top. And the nickel is on the Cotton Bowl logo. The deep safety's already back. And this is just Texas playing their most basic match three that I drew, with the strong safety dropping down, the free safety dropping back, and the respective responsibilities that follow from that. And this will be, I believe, a perimeter screen. You see the motion, the corner on the top is like a deep third defender. But he doesn't have anyone directly to cover anymore because the receiver went away. So he ends up just kind of helping against the run. The nickel, which is, I want to say Jelani McDonald on this play, is playing a curl flat zone. And he's like the final guy on the perimeter. And then the corner is just kind of deep over the top. It's just a very simple match three. You have basically a safety on either side trying to keep the ball inside, and then the middle of the field is packed up with players. The offense tries to get the ball outside, but they don't really succeed. Trying to think of a good question.
Nope. No, this one is pretty straightforward. I'm thinking ahead a little bit about how the coverage creates some problems for that quarterback. In fact, let's go look at that one. I think that's probably the best thing to do right now.
Yeah, this is going to be exactly what I was talking about. So first of all, you see very late, the safety on the top is dropping back to the middle, and the safety on the bottom is starting to come towards the box. So you see they have the two high coverage, which they played mostly two high coverages against Ohio State, because Ohio State had Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka. And really the only teams that have played Ohio State well in the last several years since Ryan Day took over are teams that played mostly too high, so that you don't get just torched over the top. You don't have the problem that you described where your corners are just all alone against these freaks and they just get destroyed. Ohio State is in 12 personnel here, LC.
Yep.
We had a video on two tight ends. So Texas does not have a nickel. They have two outside linebackers, three defensive linemen, two inside linebackers, two cornerbacks, two safeties. But the outside linebacker on the bottom, on the Cotton Bowl logo, would be the curl flat defender to that side of the field normally. And on top, it would be either the other outside linebacker or the safety would drop down to do it. What actually happens is the field outside linebacker blitzes. The boundary outside linebacker drops to play the curl flat. Boundary safety drops to play the post, and the field safety drops to play the curl flat zone that you would normally see like a nickel in. So this is where, like, when you have two edges and they can both drop and they can both blitz, and the offense doesn't know who's coming and who's going and who's dropping into what zones, that's where this defense really starts to make hay.
Let's have a look at it. It's a pretty phenomenal play, honestly, just to get the ball off.
Yeah, Trey Moore got there. They had at least one guy on him, but then he ends up getting there a lot faster than he should with that many blockers for the offense. And then it was David Benda, who was the weak side linebacker, and he drops into a weak hook. And he gets just a great drop when he sees that it's play action pretty quickly. And then he gets a great drop and Will Howard doesn't quite see him. And this is one of the benefits of match three, is that it's like, hey, first you're going to cover this kind of route, and then you're going to look for this kind of route, and then you're going to look for this kind of route. But the whole time you're trying to get back and keep your eyes on the quarterback. And then that affords you, if you have your eyes on the quarterback, it affords you the opportunity to make sure you cover the right zone and to get into a window like this and pick off a pass.
It just seems to me, so I guess my question with this is, what percentage of single high, let's say we're seeing single high pre-snap, would you say certainly in PK's scheme is disguised? I don't know if that's the best way to frame that concept, but how often is he switching in and out of that?
Almost every play, they are using some level of disguise about what's coming, either whether it's single high or too high, or who is going to be where in single high or even in too high. So like maybe it's like, okay, it's single high, but you thought it was this guy was rushing the passer and this guy was dropping here. And instead it's the opposite, right? You thought you were going to get, well, they're going to be drop seven into coverage, but we're going to have a slant going up against this linebacker. We're going to like that. It's going to be open. And then nope, actually the safety's there. And another guy, the nickel, is blitzing and you didn't know it, or something like that.
Right.
This is when people talk about we're gonna look complicated for them but be simple for us. This is one of the major ways that teams do that. Is when you build, it's like we're gonna play match three 50% of the time, but who's doing what in the match three is gonna change so that we can bring pressure from different places or we can bring the safety into different zones.
Great. I wonder. I think the question has to be asked is just given the examples that we've seen up to this point, out of a single high, how often would you see something like man coverage?
A lot of teams, their favorite way to play single high is just to play man. And you might still drop down different people. So it's, I'm going to drop down here and cover this guy in man. Like if you're a safety, I'm going to drop down to the middle and cover the tight end, or I'm going to drop down outside and cover the slot receiver or whatever. You can still have a little bit of variability, but some teams do it that way because then you don't have to teach the rules of the different zones to a bunch of different people. Like if you want to play in match three the way we just saw it, where either outside linebacker can play multiple spots in coverage and not just rush the passer, it's a big commitment.
Right.
Because they have to actually be good at it, or else you get the deal where everybody's throwing their remotes to TV and being like, why is Colin Simmons in coverage, you idiots? Right. Which may or may not happen next year, right? So some teams, instead of teaching the zone match three that we just went over, they play quarters and then they just play straight man defense with a bow safety. And right. Then a lot of this is simpler when they do that.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, what you're talking about a lot here, and I know that you've mentioned this, but it really does require a higher level of football IQ on the players, especially they're having to read different scenarios, almost going, like you pointed out, through a checklist. Whereas man is pretty straightforward, right? This is my person. This is who I'm on. So I think it also speaks to, we talk a lot about the athleticism, certainly of the athletes that Texas recruits and has on the field, but there is an IQ level that's pretty high that these guys are operating on in order to execute these things.
Yeah. For a while, teams didn't want to bother with this kind of thing in college, especially if you're at a school like Texas. It's like, why would I teach Colin Simmons to drop? Like, will he need to do that in the NFL? 100%. Everything I've just described has been like the basis of the Steelers steel curtain deal for years and years. When they had like Troy Polamalu, this is the kind of thing they were doing. But in college, it's like, can't we just play man and make it hard for them to find open people and just let Colin Simmons blitz every play? Isn't that a lot better?
Right.
But, you know, it only takes like one Kirby Smart to actually do it and do it well. And then you're like, well, if we want to beat Georgia, maybe we have to do the more complex thing to be as good as they are.
Right. Well, that has been 201. I can't promise you that we're going to get into 301. I can't promise you that we won't. There's a lot to discuss here with this type of stuff. But again, we're trying to dig into this a little bit easier, or a little bit more. So when you're watching the game, you're enjoying it a little bit more. Please join us at InsideTexas.com. We really appreciate you being here. And thanks so much.